You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping things up on this Thursday, you heard from both coordinators of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill, the most recent, and you know, he's not wavering, Matt. He's not wavering. He just comes down to execution. They did some good things. He's not wavering and clearly doesn't feel like there are needs for wholesale changes either to the scheme or the personnel on this defense.
Yeah, I think wholesale changes in general at this point in the season are unrealistic and in some cases impossible to do, because by this time you are who you are and you're going to ride with who you're riding. You know, you're taking to the dance who you're going to the dance with. That's what you can. You can do it one person at a time, but it's going to be the bottom portion of the 53. That's not really going to add to your team, i.e., you know, Scott Solomon at the end of the year last year. And I get, you know, no wholesale changes. I get, you know, him walking up confident about some of the things that they did against the St. Louis Rams. But I think Jim O'Neill and this defense, and for a lot of us, we all need to look in the mirror and go, can we just play a game for 60 minutes? That's what it is. We play great in periods of time, you know, sure, in quarters, in halves. But have you had a great game yet? No. We have 30 seconds of a ramble rant about how great we are, and then the butt comes. It's like, hey, Mom, I got an A on the test, but I punched this kid in the face, and I'm in detention, and I am, you know, I'm at home, you know, suspended. It's like, come on. Really, really good, but here it comes.
And you got to find a way to be really, really good for 60 minutes if you want to beat a team the caliber of the Arizona Cardinals. We'll go to the phone lines now. We've got Mike in Northern California. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. There's a couple things here. First thing is that I am so glued to this show. I'm a little bit worried. I can't get enough. I mean,
thank you, man.
I love your experience, Matt. I wanted to be a pro football player, but it didn't happen. But it's awesome. I saw something on NFL.com this morning. Bruce Arians had expressed, you guys might have seen it, he said something along the lines that wish he could be there to help turn the Browns around, and to have a successful coach like that make a statement like that. I know I didn't know he had coached with the Browns, and Pagano was there, and all these guys. It's good to know that there is really good experienced coaches that are successful, that are willing to come to Cleveland. That was really nice to hear. The other thing I want to mention is that I wonder if part of what we're going through is that we have, I hate to say it this way, but freshman, sophomore level coaching. They're good coaches, but they don't have 15 years of solid. It's not Bill Parcells, in other words, kind of thing, you know? And that's just the way it is. I mean, we're trying, and what can we say?
No, I think you're right. Thank you very much for the call, Mike. I appreciate that. And, yes, it is good to hear a guy like Bruce Arians, who's on the Browns staff, say that he wishes he had been given that opportunity when the
and
Browns.
And don't we?
And certainly over Rob Chudzinski, yes. Certainly.
It was over Eric Mangini. Back in the day.
When we took Arians? This is just his third year down there.
Right, but I meant, we had an opportunity to hire instead of Shermer. You know, he was available.
Oh, sure.
Shermer, but I meant originally when he got fired and not considered for the job was back in 2003.
Right.
And when Eric Mangini took the job.
And when he finally got his head coaching
job. So what would 12 years of Bruce Arians look like for a franchise? So far after three, you have to be happy with what's happening in Arizona.
You got to feel on some level, at a minimum, that at least it would have been better than what you've had in the last 12 years. And I certainly think that's the case. All right, let's go to John in Virginia. John, welcome to CBD.
Hey, John.
What's up, John?
Hey, I love the show. I love the Browns. I have had enough of this. If I listen to one more time of a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator making excuses for why one thing or another is happening, enough. We're the worst in the damn league. Enough. Can we please get a damn team that doesn't embarrass us? It doesn't embarrass me, please.
Well, I would imagine that is the goal of the people in charge, and I like the way John DeFilippo approaches those press conferences. I don't think he makes excuses. I think he says when he feels like he's wrong. He says when he feels like he's right.
And
I enjoy the way that he approaches it. Now, he's having more success, so perhaps it's easier to do that under said scenario. But, you know, it's interesting. The feedback to Jim O'Neill is not fantastic. in terms of like what we get on Twitter or whatever after these press conferences. And I don't know if there's an approach that's different, but at the end of the day, as a player, did you care how your coordinator was perceived by the media?
You didn't know. No. So hearing these press conferences and why they're so intriguing to me is, A, it allows me personally as a former player to understand the type of scrutiny that coaches or coordinators are susceptible to each and every day by some, you know, very good questions and some very, you know, speculative questions with like those digging jabs in some cases, just trying to scratch and claw for anything they can get to write an article. But I would like a guy like Flip to be upfront and honest. And I think what Flip does, which I can, you know, I give him credit for, is he talks about himself and he talks about the team. And it takes the right question for him to address any individual player.
Right. Right.
Because I like that about him. That's what he's focused on. He's focused on what he can change personally and his group because he oversees the entire offense and doesn't necessarily only talks about the positive in certain players. But then if a negative light is shined on anybody, he'll talk about that player, but he has to be asked to him first.
And these conversations, these types of things happen, I imagine, behind closed doors with players, as you talked about, or via the position coaches with whom you would spend the majority of your time. So players really don't have, they either don't know about it or they're not paying much attention to it.
No, they don't.
What you're saying.
You don't even know. If you were in the locker, if you went up to 10 players in the locker room and go, what day did the coordinators talk to the media? 9 out of 10 wouldn't know. Maybe
no
10.
Clue.
No clue. No clue, no care.
Interesting. Well, tomorrow is the day we will make our predictions for the Browns and the Cardinals, as well as every game in the National Football League. The Kid will stop by for the Friday forecast as well. 216-578-0850. That's always the call-in number. Tweet show always at Browns_daily. So we're looking forward to a big Friday show as we get ready for Week 8 in the NFL in the eighth game of the Cleveland Browns season this Sunday at First Energy Stadium. Want to thank Josh Weinfuss, who joined us, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter from, of course, the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, thanks to the coordinators, John DeFilippo, Jim O'Neill, for their weekly press conferences, which we aired here. And thanks to all of you for listening, for your tweets, and, of course, your phone calls. Coming up next, it's the Golden Boys here on ESPN 850 WKNR. For our producer, Matt Fontana, and for, of course, the great Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.